thinks that his story sounds credible. We've spent the past fortnight investigating Frank's claim, trying to fit the pieces of this fascinating jigsaw together.
To see my children's reactions, to watch my father go grey. Nothing will pay for that. Not ever. And that makes me extremely angry indeed, because it's needless. It is totally needless, and it's wrong.
2 weeks ago, the Herald Sun newspaper broke the story of a 78-year-old Melbourne pensioner named Frank Cole. It was the same Frank who'd rung me, racked with guilt 4 years ago, again telling his story of accidentally shooting the dingo that had taken baby Azaria.
So I picked the little baby up, shone the torch on it, and my head was all covered in blood. And then I noticed that one of the ears was missing, you know. And I started to cry, you know, I was really upset.
To understand why Frank and his mates at The Rock acted the way they did, you've got to go back to Melbourne's northern suburbs in the 1980s. Places like Pascoe Vale and Heidelberg and Brunswick. Working class suburbs with scrap metal, spare parts and truckies.
Yeah, well, in the 80s it was big money. There was a lot of money to be made out of it. And Ken and Don and Frank Cole were in the driver's seat.
Like Darren Clark, all the players in this latest sensational chapter of the Azaria story were in the spare parts and junk business, an $800 million a year industry on the fringes of the law for many. It was strictly cash or credit, no questions asked of the taxman or the cops.
From what I know of Frank, he's a fairly honest sort of a bloke, and if he said it happened, I reckon it happened.
Now, this is what we know so far. The detail is important. Frank Cole went to The Rock that fateful night with three of his mates. There was Kenny Kirk, who was a long-time mate and a partner in the scrap business here. There was Ron Reardon, had a scrap business just down the road, and Bob Farmer, who was a trucker. The four men went to The Rock in two vehicles. Ken went in Frank's 1978 red Falcon utility, and Bobby went with Ron in his white Holden. Frank took his Bayard 22 semi-automatic rifle, and that was the gun he used to shoot the dingo. There's no chance that you might have shot the baby as well as the dingo?
No, the baby was dead. And the blood was still, you know, wet on it. It's because it's only about an hour probably between the time that the dingo took the baby in and by the time it had an encounter with me.
But once you'd cleaned her up, the baby up, once you'd made her look better, why didn't you say, well, we've got to take this baby into town?
That's what I wanted to do. And one of the chaps, he said, oh, no, he said, don't go near the police or the rangers, whatever you do. He said, the real bad news, he said, these coppers up here in the Northern Territory, he said, they'll hang you up by the neck.
In the scrap metal and spare parts business, the culture is that you don't talk to the police. One bloke said, we used to call them maggots. He said, I'd walk across my mother's grave before I'd talk to a copper. Now, maybe that's why they've said nothing to the police for 24 years. Did you kill Azaria?
No way. I love that little girl.
I've regretted it all my life, you know. You're thinking about who's going to look after my wife if I go to jail, or they're going to come and take our house off us.
The other three men were all older than Frank Cole, who's now a sprightly 78. So where are they? Well, Kenny Kirk died in the kitchen of this old house 4 years ago. The coroner's report says it was a heart attack. Bob Farmer, who allegedly cleaned the baby and was last seen with Azaria's body, is buried here in the Coburg Cemetery. He died 15 years ago. Now, this is where the story becomes really intriguing. With the other two dead, the only one who could verify Frank's story is Ron Reardon. Well, it turns out he's still alive. He's in his 80s, living in a nursing home, and he's battling advanced Alzheimer's disease. But he does have a son named Robert, to whom he may have told the story.
Never ever said. I've said I don't know where the body is. The last time I seen the body, it was wrapped up in the towel, all washed and cleaned and everything. I tried to find out later what happened to the baby, and the chappie said to me, you don't want to know. all this business, if it had been in somebody's backyard, I think that's too blimmin' silly for words, because there's a million acres of land up there.
But the fact is, Frank doesn't really know. The last time he saw Azaria's body, she was wrapped in a towel and a blanket and put inside a Gladstone bag. The bag was left with Bob Farmer and Ron Reardon. But if Azaria's body was brought to Melbourne, as the papers keep saying, then we understand it would have been brought here. One credible but frightened source said to us, you should start digging in Blythe Street, Brunswick. Now this is Blythe Street, and this is where Bob Farmer once owned a house. When Mr. Farmer died in 1989, this block of flats was built over anything or anyone who might have been buried here.
Is your first name Francis?
And last Friday, two policemen from the Northern Territory finally spoke to Frank at his home, sent by the Territory coroner, who may now reopen the controversial case. That's certainly what Michael Chamberlain's legal team has now formally requested. Lindy doesn't believe Frank's story. She leans towards another, even more bizarre theory.
I mean, you have to look at them all. There could be, one of them could be true. There could be an element of truth in a whole lot of untruths in some of them.
Now, as I understand it, a Seventh-day Adventist minister recently told the Chamberlains that in travelling the Western Desert, he heard a story of a fair-skinned woman in her early 20s who was living with the Aborigines. It's that theory that Lindy is currently investigating.
I've told my story, and that's all I can do.
If he's telling the truth, could you ever excuse him for staying silent for 25 years?
Yeah.
You could.
It's in the past now. There's no point holding grudges. The only person you hurt with that's yourself. And if this man's telling the truth, he's hurt himself enough.
The more you investigate, the more intriguing this story becomes. Now,